The following episode of the Farm Report has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures. White Oak Pastures cattle are raised in a manner that has stood the test of time. It begins with southern sunshine, unpolluted country air, and fertile coastal soil. The cattle are allowed to roam the pastures and graze freely on sweet native grasses all of their lives. White Oak Pastures all-natural grass-fed beef has been available in all of the Whole Foods stores in the Mid-Atlantic states. We hope that you'll support the program through your purchase of the beef through one of the Whole Foods stores. For more information, visit www.whiteoakpastures.com.
All right, it's Thursday, 1 o'clock, and you are tuned in to the Heritage Radio Network's Farm Report. Going solo today, I want to give a little shout out to my co-host Heather, who's down in Miami working with the Roberta's crew at Art Basel. Good luck, Heather. Looking forward to seeing you again next week. Our guest today is the beautiful and talented Alexis Stevens. Alexis, are you on the line?
I am here.
Awesome. Welcome.
So, thank you.
Alexis is the EBT project manager for New York City Green Markets, Grow NYC. We've had a couple of their staffers on before, and we're excited to learn even more about some of their programming there. Before we kind of tuck into it, Alexis, I wanted to kind of share some statistics that I was looking at a little earlier from the New York Coalition to End Hunger. Mm-hmm. These were shocking. I'm sure that you're familiar with them, but $3.2 billion is the number of food stamps that are issued for New York City alone. 1 in 8 New York households are classified as food insecure, and that translates to about 1.7 million New Yorkers. I was really surprised. Those numbers are a lot bigger than I thought they were going to be. So I'm excited to hear a little bit more about kind of the work Grow NYC is doing to create some more food access for them. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, what exactly is EBT, what's your role at Green Market, and describe the program for us.
Sure. Well, EBT stands for Electronic Benefits Transfer, and it's actually the, it's like a debit card that the government uses to issue benefits to people. So food stamps or SNAP is one of those programs issued on the EBT card, but also people can use their EBT card for welfare, cash assistance, or Medicaid.
It's the same card for all of those services?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
So I, as you said, I run the EBT and Farmers Market Project for Green Market, and it started, you know, prior to 2005, I mean, prior to 2001, food stamps were actually issued as stamps. They were paper stamps, and so farmers, you know, most farmers were able to accept them. They would just register with the USDA to get an FNS number to enable them to accept the coupons, and then customers who were enrolled in the food stamp program would go directly to the farmers and give them their stamps for the farmers' products, just exactly like a cash transaction. You know, and then 2001 in New York State, Congress had mandated in around the rest of the country that these food stamps be converted, put on the EBT card. And this was for, you know, it was to make the program more efficient. It reduced fraud. It reduced maybe the stigma of food stamp users having to go and pay with coupons. Now they could pay with something that looked like a debit card. But it completely left farmers' markets out of the loop. So farmers who were once redeeming thousands of dollars in food stamps every year no longer had access to that cash, that money.
Oh, wow. So that sounds like there was a gap there. Was that kind of in process for a few years? I mean,
yeah, there was a number, you know, it was just kind of like a little bit of a vacuum effect. And there has been a number of efforts to kind of bridge that divide again. But one of the biggest problems is the machine that you need to accept the EBT card is typically, you know, just like any point of sale device, you typically need a phone line or electricity. So there are these wireless terminals, but when they first started appearing, you know, in the early 2000s, the technology was really poor. Transactions were being lost. The terminals were just failing and breaking down. So originally, what New York State did was they started to distribute these terminals directly to farmers. But the problem was that the terminals weren't working, and then also there was no advertising and outreach done. So no food stamp customers knew that they could use their food stamps at the farmers market anymore. So sales were really low. And then farmers also kind of left a bad taste in their mouth because they took on the responsibility of having this machine, maybe paying some money for this machine, paying their wireless transaction fees, and for a program that just didn't really quite pick up or work.
Got it.
So what we have, what we started to do in 2005, which is we found to be the most successful model to enable farmers markets to accept food stamps, and which is, I think the model that most of farmers markets use around the country to do is the token model. So that's where our central terminal model. So that's where we have a farmers market manager stationed at a booth, and they accept. They're there with the wireless terminal device, and they're there to troubleshoot the machine. And customers actually come right to the market manager. They receive wooden tokens, and then they're able to go ahead and use the wooden tokens with the farmers like a cash transaction.
Okay, so yeah, I'm familiar with the wooden tokens from working at the farmers market. So if I come into a New York City, one of the Grow NYC markets, and I'm a food stamp, recipient. I can just go to the market station and they swipe my card and then they give me tokens in the amount. And can I use those at any of the stands in the farmer's market?
Yeah, you can use the tokens at any of the farmer stands that sell food stamp eligible items. So no wine or no, houseplants, but all other, pretty much all other food items are okay.
So dairy, meat, cheese, vegetables, anything that's...
edible plants even,
okay.
Which is something a lot of people don't know about. So that model has been, really successful. The farmers like it because, most of the administrative work is on us. And then we also get to go out and promote the program. So in 2005, we started with, I think, three markets accepted EBT, and our total sales were $1,000.
For the year?
For the whole year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And now, thanks to City Council, the Speaker Quinn has actually started funding our project in 2007. And so they gave us money to do an advertising budget, which still many people don't know. They can, once again, use their food stamps at the farmers markets, increase the amount of markets they have, and, hire myself, someone to just oversee and coordinate the whole project. So that's when our project really started taking off.
That's 2007?
So in 2007, we were up to $40,000 worth in sales. And we were in 12 markets, so that's a huge increase from 1,000 to 40,000 in 2 years. And then actually this past year in 2010, we were given funding to increase the food stamp program to 40 of our markets, including Union Square, which is our largest green market. And we expect our food stamp sales to be over $500,000.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So that is, I think that's just really, testament that, New Yorkers that are on food stamps really want to use their food stamps to go out and shop at the farmers market. And the program is, a really good idea. For both the customers that get to go and now buy this really fresh, healthy, tasty food, and for the farmers who are getting that extra income.
Yeah. Do you? What is your sense? Are food stamp customers new customers to the market, or are there people who would be shopping there anyway?
Yeah. We have done a number of surveys every year of, how long have you been shopping at the farmers market? How long have you been using your food stamps at the market? And we found that mostly, it seems about 30% of the people that we survey are new to the market, and they're new to using their food stamp card at the market every year.
So that's driving new people to the markets. Well, that's awesome. $500,000 is like no small amount of money. And we said the figure at the beginning of the show, there's $3.2 billion to New York City.
Yeah, it's not even close to what the potential of the program is, but definitely we're, looking to you know, at least let everybody who is enrolled in the food stamp program know that they are able to shop at the farmers markets with their food stamps.
Do you notice a difference in usage at different markets throughout the city?
Absolutely. We have, you know, farmers markets where in neighborhoods where the number of people enrolled in the food stamps or, you know, any sort of assistance program is 50%. And then we have farmers markets that, you know, the number of people enrolled in those programs is a lot lower than that. Maybe it's like less than 5%. You know, we have some farmers markets that do, you know, I think that have done about $70,000 a year just in food stamp sales.
Wow.
And then some farmers markets, you know, that have done $500 a year. So it absolutely, you know, it depends on the neighborhood. It depends on the number of people enrolled, you know, enrolled in the food stamp programs. It depends on, I think, you know, it's a cultural preference of different cultures or different people just used to shopping in open air markets or in cooking food that, you know, cultures that cook. So that all has stuff to do with the success of food stamps at the farmers markets.
So can you tell us a little bit about kind of what the staffing situation looks like? I mean, you said that you guys are getting funding through the city council right now, mm-hmm. but is your salary is coming out of that funding or through Grow NYC? I mean, what's your staff look like?
Yeah, the EBT program, and we're thankful for this. I mean, this is one of the reasons why, you know, we boast one of the most successful programs in the country is because we've been, you know, continuously or consistently funded by the New York City Council. So we have staff. We have myself that's overseeing the whole project. We have I have a project associate that actually works with our market managers who are manning the markets. All of these markets, these 40 markets, have somebody that is hired to just stand out there and operate the EBT terminal and accept the tokens. And then all of those markets, again, have somebody that is allocated to go out into the community to do outreach for the market, to let people in the neighborhood know about the market, and then they can use their food stamps at the market. So, and then also we have a bookkeeping. So, you know, at the end of the day, after farmers have collected all these tokens from customers, we go around and we collect the tokens from the farmers, and we write them a receipt, and we bring all that stuff back to the bookkeeper, who then has to, you know, process all these receipts and make sure that the farmers get paid. So it's a huge administrative cost for our organization, for sure.
Awesome. And do you feel like that is going to be a barrier for markets around the country to kind of initiate similar projects? Or are you guys talking at all about streamlining that process? Or what are some opportunities for increasing access?
Yeah, I think that is the number one barrier for, you know, I think currently 2010, there's about 6,000 farmers markets in the country, and about 1,000 of those accept food stamps. And I think one of the biggest barriers absolutely is cost. Most farmers markets are completely volunteer run, and they don't really have the means to maybe purchase the wireless, you know, the terminal, the wireless terminal that retails at about $1,000, and then pay the monthly wireless transaction fees. Never mind the cost of actually having staff out there, which is huge every week to deal with customers, and then they need someone to do bookkeeping. So that's a huge cost and burn. Because I think that as a whole, that food stamps and farmers markets is being recognized as like a really valuable and successful program. So there is more money becoming available to help support these markets. But you know, definitely, I think that it's not the most sustainable model. I hope that in 10 years that we're not still dealing with, you know, all these tokens. I mean, we have like 50,000 tokens in our office, which is really pretty ridiculous. And farmers market, you know, managers that are walking around with backpacks full of tokens, the whole thing's a little bit silly. So where we see the program, you know, going in the future is that the technology is gonna catch up. You know, you think of the first cell phone. There was, like, I think of maybe this is really referencing my time, but like Zach Morris, Saved by the Bell, those giant,
sure, yeah,
those giant old cell phones. And then now we have the iPhone, the, you know, the 4G iPhone. So that's huge, and it's something that, you know, has just transformed in the past 15 years. So we hope to see the same with these wireless devices. And so farmers would be easily able to sign up for their own account. They'll, you know, the transaction process for the accepting EBT will be really quick. It will be just as easy as a cash transaction. And also farmer, you know, so we won't actually have to be involved. It will be something that farmers see as a program that is making them enough money that it is worth it for them to go off on their own and sign up and purchase a terminal and accept food stamps directly with the customers.
Yeah, and I mean, I think if we reflect again on that $3.2 billion number, I mean, if we can be directing more of those funds back to New York State farmers, I think that sounds like a real win-win.
Yeah, it's an enormous opportunity. It's an enormous funding opportunity for farmers. And our job, you know, I think Green Market's job in the interim time, and all other farmers market operators, is to just let everybody know that, let food stamp customers know that they can use their food stamps at the farmers markets. It's amazing to me still today. I mean, I guess, you know, there's a lot of people in New York City, and the program is just 5 years old, but it's still, you know, we still get people that are like, oh, I didn't know you could, you know, at the markets, I didn't know you could use your food stamps at the farmers market. So they're so happy that they get to come here and they don't have to go to the grocery store or other bodegas where the food might not be as fresh.
Cool. Well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about those food access issues. Welcome back to the Farm Report. We are chatting with Alexis Stevens of Grow NYC. Alexis, before the break, we were starting to touch on this very hot topic. We've had a few guests on kind of tussing around the idea of food and food access in New York City. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about farmers markets and kind of what a unique kind of opportunity they bring to different communities and neighborhoods around the city. I mean, what role do you think the markets are going to play in creating more access to fresh food for food insecure areas?
Well, I think that's absolutely, you know, it's something we take a look at when we are looking, Green Market takes a look at when where do we start a new farmers market, is what kind of access do people in these areas have to fresh foods. And we did, I think we did, we were doing a survey, I think it was in the South Bronx, and we found that it was like something crazy, like 80% said that they had three or fewer places within like a 15 block radius to get fresh food. So, you know, I think that farmers markets is definitely one part of the solution. I would love it if we could just put a farmers market, you know, maybe on every corner and every block. But I don't know if that's the best way to go about it. But I do think that, you know, working with farmers and you know, we have a wholesale market, and getting, you know, bodegas and grocery stores and schools and institutions and them to purchase locally grown foods. That's going to be the key of ensuring that everybody in New York City has access to these fresh foods.
And are projects like that, I mean, is that part of the scope of your position to kind of look at other ways that Grow NYC can kind of be living its mission, you know, bringing food to New Yorkers and supporting, you know, regional farmers?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, more so what I'm concentrating on just creating opportunities for all New Yorkers to be able to shop at the farmers market, and making sure, you know, having access, you know, meaning affordability, meaning certainly it's easiest to go, you know, easy in proximity. There's no language barriers are taken care of, that kind of thing. So making sure that every single New Yorker can go into our farmers market, and they feel like it's a space for them, and that the produce or foods there is accessible to them. So one of the other couple of things that I work with is the Farmers Market Nutrition Program coupons, which is they're $4 coupons that are distributed to WIC and WIC, which is Women, Infants, and Children Program, which is a supplemental nutrition program for women who are pregnant or who have children, and low-income seniors. And those are, you know, it's $4 coupons that are distributed to seniors and WIC participants to kind of get them, well, one, just to help them purchase fresh food, so they get about $20 to $24 a year. And then the next is to introduce them to the farmers market, introduce them to how, you know, wonderful the produce tastes and what a great community space is. And absolutely, we find that once, you know, making that first introduction and making that first purchase, that really helps people be able to, that really helps them to want to come back.
Sure. Are those the health bucks, or is that something different?
No, health bucks is actually, and I was meaning to talk about this in the last segment. Health bucks is something that we have, you know, we really attribute to our program being such a great success. And that is a program from the New York City Department of Health, and where for in certain areas in New York City, where there's farmers markets and those farmers markets accept EBT, for every $5 food stamp customers spend with their food stamps, they receive a $2 coupon for free. So that's a 40% increase in purchasing power. When that really, people freak out over that. They really love it that they get.
That's a major coupon.
they get that they get that discount, and they really, you know, it really does incentivize them. It does exactly what it is to come to the farmers market. One of the other really successful things that program has done for us is working with the Human Resources Administration. That they are actually the funders of the Health Buck program and the Human Resources Administration. They administer the food stamp program in New York City. And so one of the things they've done to advertise Health Bucks is they've sent out a mailing to all food stamp recipients in the zip codes where those farmers markets are that accept Health Bucks. That is amazing targeted outreach. You know, we do not currently have that capacity to you know, let people know, let all the food stamp recipients know that they can use their food stamps at the farmers markets. And I think that it was the first year that they did that mailing in 2008. We saw that first week we saw a 30% increase in sales. So that
wow.
It's pretty incredible. I think it's, you know, every mailing they do, we get more customers. And I think it's those kind of partnerships that need to be made, you know, more so in New York City and more so across the country, getting the people who are working with these food stamp or SNAP programs and having them help advertise fresh foods available.
Yeah, I was
in the areas.
Mm-hmm. So you know, we had talked about the New York City Coalition Against Hunger as a resource for people who are kind of interested in learning more about kind of how to get involved in hunger relief issues, and if you're in need of assistance, it's a great resource. I know your website also, www.grownyc.org, lists all the markets where food stamps are available, mm-hmm. and kind of where people can go to find out more information. Are there any other, you know, organizations that you guys partner with or that you would recommend if people are interested in getting more involved or learning more about some of these issues?
Sure, absolutely. Well, first of all, I would say go to our website, and there's also great volunteer opportunities for us at Green Market. There's also the Hunger Action Network of New York State lists some great resources. But, you know, they're a network and volunteer organization, soup kitchens and food pantries, and have some great information about hunger and, you know, organizations in New York City that are working on hunger relief. I would say looking at into City Harvest, another great organization that goes around and collects extra food from different restaurants and our markets and other places, and then goes to distribute them to soup kitchens and food pantries. Just Food is an amazing organization that assists the development of community-supported CSAs, community-supported agriculture programs all throughout the city. Also, if people want to go to www.grownyc.org, we have a large list of organizations that we partner with similar goals to ours.
That's awesome. That's great. So what about, I mean, we've talked a lot about kind of getting the word out to communities in New York City, but what about for farmers? I mean, when you're looking to open a market in an area that's kind of more perceived to be underserved or more low income, do you have, is it a different kind of scenario when you're trying to put the vendors who are going to be at that market together? Do you find resistance from farmers? I mean,
I wouldn't say like resistance from farmers. We really would, you know, really try to pick product type that's going to be culturally appropriate to the neighborhood. So, you know, I mean, just and there's a lot of different things that go into that. But, you know, if we're going, you know, markets in the South Bronx where there's a high percentage of our patrons are Latin American, we really maybe want to try to put some farmers that have a lot of Latin American products available, like papalo or cilantro or, you know, what I'm trying to think.
I know.
Something else. but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
and we do the same thing, you know, and we will survey the community to see what kind of products that they want to see. If they want to see more collard greens, if they want eggs, if they want meats, if they want cheeses. We do the same thing for all of our markets throughout the city. And, you know, in those markets where, you know, maybe it's underserved or there is a, you know, high amount of people shopping with their food stamps. The farmers, I mean, they love the food stamp program. That there more than ever is, it's a huge percentage of our sales. I mean, some farmers in our most successful EBT markets report that food stamps account for, you know, 50 to 75% of their total sales. So they absolutely, you know, understand the value of it and appreciate it as, you know, people that wouldn't be able to shop at that market otherwise and money they wouldn't be seeing otherwise.
Awesome. Wow. That's great. 50 to 75%.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. At our markets where, you know, the totals, I think Poe Park in the South Bronx and 175th Street are our highest volume EBT sales markets that we boast about all the time, that, you know, they're doing $70,000 a year and, you know, there's maybe less than 10 vendors at those markets. So
it sounds like a sales pitch right there.
Mm-hmm.
as far as kind of just getting farmers acquainted with the program, is that part of the application process or can they choose not to participate or?
You know, we don't make farmers go to any markets. When they sign up for, you know, to be a green market vendor, we really will take a look at their product and see what are our already existing markets lacking? Because it really is a fine balance. We want the farmer to be really successful at that market, and it's always a fine kind of commodity balance. So we would never put a farmer in a market, you know, an egg farmer in a market that already has like four farmers that already sell eggs and aren't selling out. You know, so it's kind of always looking to that balance. And then it also is what day can the farmer drive into the city?
Sure.
You know, how many trucks do they have? Is there parking available? Can they drop off? Can they go to more than one market on one day? So a lot of different factors go into what farmers are at what markets.
Awesome. So I guess before we wrap up, I want to just give you a chance if there's anything that we didn't touch base with, but also just kind of thinking towards the future, you know, if it's Alexis Stevens' world and you've got your magic wand, I mean, any big wishes? You know, if we're pretending there's a multimillionaire out there looking for something to do with his money, I mean, what do you guys need? What can we do for you?
Well, I think that my goal and where I want to see the project and all the food stamps and farmers market project, I just want everybody, all food stamp people who are enrolled in the food stamp program to know that they can use their food stamps at the farmers market and all farmers markets and all farmers to be able to accept these food stamps, something that, you know, just like how it was 15 years ago, but, you know, have that, you know, simple thing happen again. So whether that's, you know, money available to make every farmer's market in the country, you know, be able to accept food stamps, or whether that's, you know, farmers or the technology finally catching up so we can equip every farmer with a terminal that they can use to accept food stamps, and it's easy for them and they're finding it to be an economically viable program to have and operate themselves. So.
Awesome. Alexis, thanks so much. I know I learned a ton today, and we are going to kind of continue exploring some of the issues that we addressed here next week when we talk about Christine Quinn's 59-point blueprint for creating jobs, improving public health, and protecting the environment, looking through food in New York City. Thanks a lot, guys. See you next week.
Great. Thank you.